Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, he's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Jeff Feagles, I am John Schmelk. 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number. Talking NFL draft with you and the New York Football Giants, of course. For the next hour, I had a chance to catch up to Rob Rang from CBS Sports this morning. We'll replay that interview at some point during the show. Thank you for joining us on Twitter as well. We'll be with you for a few minutes. Then you can watch the remainder of the program on Giants.com. Jeff, good afternoon. How are you? We're less than a week away.
How about it, right? A lot of things happening. The trades, but more importantly, a lot of things happening in this building. A lot of ideas. We don't know who the 10th pick was. Trade down, trade up. Who's it going to be?
What are you hearing? Everyone tells Jeff Feagles everything. No. You're like the most trusted man in the building.
Well, if you watched Jerry Reese's press conference yesterday, you know that they're going to take the best available player.
And they're going to get a good player.
Exactly.
Wow. You think there's not a whole lot to take out of that except for the fact that Victor Cruz, hopefully he'll be good to go for training camp. That was one thing you heard, which is good. But other than that, really, not a whole lot of things. Bobby Arr can be a guard and a tackle. That was one other thing he said I thought was interesting. But in terms of the draft, really not a whole lot there to work off of.
Yeah, they're holding their cards close to their chest. And it's going to be exciting, though, because, you know, really with what happened with those two quarterbacks, John, and we talked about this last week a little bit, that you know, when those two guys are going to get taken off the board, that slides down eight other players, that spots kind of. So it's interesting. Bottom line, they're going to get a pick, a guy that's going to come in and play and going to do well.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's going to be an impact player. I still think it should be offense. I have just been saying that the whole time.
Offensive line specifically.
But, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
The question is, who is it going to be? And, of course, as people try to figure out who the Giants are going to pick, what do they do? Mock draft.
So mock draft, 1,000.
If you tuned into ESPN last night, and I DVR'd it, I watched the first half of it last night. I'm going to try to watch the rest of it over the weekend. Todd McShay and Mel Kiper did their every other pick mock draft, which means they're playing the role of the team's general manager. So they're good. They're making picks now based on what they think the teams are going to do, not what they would do.
Okay.
All right. So they take turns, each guy taking the seat of the general manager for a particular team, and they go one by one, and they pick. So Mel Kiper, I'll bring you through the first 10 just for fun before we say goodbye to our folks on Twitter, okay?
Yeah.
So you have Goff. Kiper picked Goff for the Rams. McShay picked Wentz for the Eagles. Not a surprise.
Okay.
Tunsil. Mel Kiper went with Tunsil to the Chargers at 3.
Okay.
And then this was a tough one for McShay. He said between Bosa, Ramsey, and Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys have the 3 players they like there, but with all the problems of the defensive line, they go Joey Bosa. Not a surprise. Then, with the Jaguars at 5, Mel surprisingly passed on Jalen Ramsey and went with Miles Jack.
Okay.
Then Jalen Ramsey, the Baltimore Ravens, run to the podium and run out of the building, happy to get Jalen Ramsey. And it's funny how Ozzie Newsome just seems to have these guys drop to him, which tends to be what happens for them. Then at 7, much to your chagrin, they have the 49ers taking Jack Conklin. That's a Kiper pick. At 8, DeForest Buckner to Oregon for the Browns. And then Mel Kiper to the Bucks has Ronnie Stanley. So none of the 3 offensive linemen are there for Jeff Feagles.
Well, not according to this draft.
Well, no. Well, no, but that's what we're playing here.
Yeah.
So now, if you were the Giants
so now,
at 10.
Okay, yeah.
But,
okay. I noticed how you have not slipped to that one yet.
I did that on purpose. I want to make you
so
guess.
So now that the 2 offensive linemen that I wanted,
right,
who are we going to pick
with
the 10th pick now that the offensive guys that I wanted are going to be
now,
there?
Now, Vernon Hargrave still on the board.
Okay.
Ezekiel Elliott still on the board. Leonard Floyd still on the board. Sheldon Rankin's still on the board, depending on who else you like, but those to me are the primary guys that are still there for the Giants. Or if you like the Taylor Decker kid out of Ohio State, I think it's a little early for him.
I can tell you what that number 10 pick, look, I don't have it here.
I know. That number
10 pick is going to be the kid from Ohio State.
Da-ding!
Da-ding!
Very good, Jeff Feagles.
It has to be.
Is that what you would do, though? See, that's when it gets tough, Feagles.
I just, you know, I don't know if you can pass up on a guy like that. I think he's that good.
So
now, I really do. I don't fancy it, but I think that you can't go wrong with the pick.
Next pick off the board, by the way, Leonard Floyd.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
And
well,
the phone I'm gathering from people, and I asked Rob Rang this morning, you'll hear the interview in a few minutes. The reason Floyd is rising on boards is because there simply aren't a lot of edge rushers in this draft that people like. There aren't that many guys that have that, you know, turn the edge, dip the shoulder, get to the quarterback skills. You know, Bosa isn't a pure pass rusher. He's a great player, but he's not a speed rusher.
No.
Noah Spence,
he's
kind
big
of a tweener.
Yeah.
So you don't – and Shaq Lawson, you know, he stops the run and gets to the quarterback. You don't have those pure speed rushers. Like last year, Vic Beasley, pure speed rusher. Dante Fowler was a guy that could rush off the edge. You don't have those guys this year, and that's why Floyd is really rising on boards.
I would not be surprised if Floyd actually is in the 10th spot.
Neither would I be. I agree.
So, and –
I would pick, for the record for me, I would pick the corner Hargreaves over him.
Well, I think that you could argue, I don't think you can go wrong within three of those. I think it's going to be Elliott, though.
By the way, there was an erroneous report this morning that Hargreaves had failed a drug test at the combine.
What?
That was, and here's what happened. Pro Football Talk had it, but what had happened is that he had heard that maybe it happened. He went back on Twitter and looked at – somebody told him that both Schefter and Rappaport had reported that Hargreaves failed a drug test. So he went back. He found the tweets. So he put it on Pro Football Talk. Then he realized those are two fake accounts.
Oh.
So then he had to take it back down. He apologized. He did a good job. He said, my fault, my culpa. Hargreaves did not fail a drug test. So
interesting.
Clean player, did not fail a drug test. But that was about an hour of drama on football NFL Twitter this morning.
That's why you got to have those verified accounts.
Exactly. All right, folks, thanks for joining us on Twitter. If you want to watch the rest of the show, go to Giants.com. In a few minutes, after we take a couple of calls, we'll have Rob Rang from CBS Sports joining us. Why don't you go to Giants.com right now? But for those of you who are already listening to us, fans,
Don't forget,
Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com at their promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Your calls, let's rock. Chris in Manchester, what's up, Chris?
Guys, how you doing today?
Doing great, Chris. What's up?
Hey, Chris.
All right. I'm commenting on Mr. Reese's comment yesterday about 10 to 12 is an impact player. Now, I need to understand from you guys what's the difference between an impact player in free agency, top guy that we got, and an impact player at a number 10 pick in the NFL draft this year. Is there really an impact player at 10? That's my first question.
Well, I guess it depends how you define impact.
Yeah,
I mean,
an impact offensive lineman or an impact running back?
I mean, I think what I would say to that, Chris, over the long term, you're going to get an impact player. Can I guarantee you this player is going to be a Pro Bowl caliber impact player in year number one? No, I can't, because like I said on Wednesday's show, you have future Hall of Famers that really struggle their first or even first one or two years
it's,
in the
yeah,
league. So
tough.
There is no guarantee that the rookie is going to be great in year one.
Okay. Number two, I am a component of trading down. I called you last Friday. I'm the guy who mentioned Decker in the conversation.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a Jumbo Elliott type, but I can live with that. I really can, because that was Bill Parcells, one of his favorite players.
Right.
So here's the deal. I'm looking at this draft, but we talked about tiers last week, okay, the top five, and then it goes to tier number two. In my opinion, John and Mr. Fiegels, tell me if I'm wrong. There are about 50 guys rated, except for the top five, that are elite players, or six, 50 guys that could possibly be number one, first-round picks. Now, my next question is need versus top-rated on the board. Now, when you have a lot of good football players, like they're saying, and these are the kind of guys that the Giants are getting back to, remember the captains, and we've drafted poorly in the fourth and fifth round, we need good football players. Well, this draft really, really dictates that. Right through probably the 10th or 15th pick of the fourth round. I think you guys agree with that.
I don't know if you're going to have the same talent all the way through round four. I think.
Okay, so let's talk about the top 50.
Okay.
So if we do trade down, say with Tennessee, we could be sitting with a 10, a 33 pick, and a 50 pick. Okay? Okay? a 40 pick rather. I think that will give us an extra pick. That will give us a top 50 pick, in my opinion, is probably a first rounder.
Now, in fairness, Chris, I just want to point this out. In terms of the point system, the only thing the Titans would have to trade, if you want to go by the point chart, and obviously the two trades that already happened didn't, so I understand that. But according to the chart, the only thing the Titans would have to give up to move from 15 to 10 would be that first pick in the third round. That point is enough. Now, if I'm the Giants, do I hold them up and say, give me one of your 3 second-round picks? Absolutely. I try to do that. But the Titans are probably going to try to play some hardball with you. And like, fine, we'll give you two. But then we need your 4 back or something like that. You know what I mean?
All right. I'm going to give you my three players, and I'll listen to you on the air. I do like Hargraves.
Yes.
I do like Rankins. And probably I'm a defensive guy. I'm saying the Giants are going defense. And I like Rankins. That's my 3 guys.
All right.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, man.
John. You guys do a great job. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks a lot. What do you think of those names, Feeks? What do you think?
Rankins. I mean, listen.
Another DT, huh? You already invested in that position quite heavily.
I know that, but
he can play though.
He can play. The Giants are never they're never satisfied with how many defensive linemen they have.
And
they're
a different type too of defensive tackle than the ones that they have. He's a different type of player than Hankins and Snacks. You know what I mean?
And you know what? I think when you look at who the defensive backs are on this team. Obviously, you got Jenkins now, and you got DRC, who's, he's not a young guy that much. We can still play. But, you look at Hargraves, and, that's another position where I don't believe you can go wrong when you draft first round draft pick at a cornerback position. These guys can step up, especially from the conference that they play in. I feel like that could be a chance, too. Did they on that? I'm sorry, you're typing it, but
no,
the last one they had on ESPN, Hargrave was going to Chicago.
Yeah, they
or no,
had,
Floyd was
Chicago. Hargrave was to the Dolphins at 13, and Rankins was 12 to the Saints. So you got those three guys lined up
right in there.
And this is kind of where I want to jump in on the earlier point Chris made. I don't think you're looking at the top 5 guys and then 6 through 50 are the same. I think you're looking at your top tier, which you talked about a million times: Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner, Jack, Ezekiel Elliott. I think you have that group, you push them aside, all right?
Yep.
That's your top 5. But then I think you do have a pretty solid next tier, and that's when you're talking about Ronnie Stanley. You're talking about Jack Conklin. You're talking about Hargraves. You're talking about Leonard Floyd. You're talking about Sheldon Rankins. You're talking about maybe some people think Laquon Treadwell's in there. I don't. Some people do. You're talking about Shaq Lawson. Maybe Darren Lee, the linebacker from Ohio State. Then once I think you get past that group, you're looking at picks maybe 15 or 17 to 45, maybe all kind of can be interchangeable.
Move around, I mean.
But I would like the Giants, if they did trade down, to stay in that second-tier group of players where you really hope you can get somebody from that group. And then if you get an extra pick, that's fine.
And that's the thing. You hope you get that type of quality player, but your whole intent of what you're doing there is to try to get that extra pick. The Giants don't have they're missing a pick this year, so they would like to get that back. They gave it up last year for the Collins trade.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something that they needed to do to move up. And obviously they were happy with it considering all the time that Landon Collins played. They had to trade their fourth-round pick last year to move up.
Yes.
They had to trade their fourth-round pick last year, and then I think their seventh round this year. The seventh-round pick that they lost this year, I don't think that was the McManus trade, was it, Denver, where they had to give up the seventh-round pick?
No, because that was the year
that
before.
That was the year before, right?
Yeah.
Who the hell did the Giants give up that seventh-round pick for? Oh, Brad Wing. It was Brad Wing. Wrong kicker. Absolutely.
Wrong.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, that's our
appreciate it.
Yeah, winger.
Hey, you know what? You get a starting punter for a seventh-round pick, you make that trade in a second.
And you got a good one.
Jeff would trade a first-round pick for a starting punter.
Great guy, first-rounder.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Omar in Brooklyn. He's up next. Oh!
Hey, Smelk, how you feeling today?
What's up, dude?
Hi, Omar.
Hey, it's great to be talking to you. Hey, Feagles, it's an honor.
Thank you.
The years you gave to the Giants, I mean, it's great to be talking to you today.
Appreciate it, man.
Hey, listen, guys, I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but my opinion is, look, when you're drafting in the top 10, that's a position that, you know, whoever it is, he's got to come in and he's got to start right away.
No question.
So, I agree with that.
I mean, impact is kind of speculative. That's anybody's opinion. But to me,
fair.
The guys in the tech, we stay at 10, whoever it is has to come in and start right away.
So you're telling me you would be worried about picking Leonard Floyd. I sense that's where this is going.
I just think that if it's a position that we already have some veteran depth to the point where this person is not going to start day one, then at 10, I don't know if I like it. Anywhere beyond 10, if we trade back, which I really like hearing Jerry Reese say he's not afraid to move up or down, that's a nice thing because I really want to see Ben McAdoo have the best opportunity to put the team in a good position. But I say if we stay at 10, whoever it is comes in and starts right away. That's my opinion.
And you know what? And let me just comment on that real quickly. So of all the picks that we're talking about, we're naming, you think who could actually be that player to come in and start right away? And to me, it's one of the tackles. And so that's why
I would agree with you there. I think if it's offensive, on the offensive side of the ball, I definitely think we're going to tackle. I think if it's defensive, I would say, maybe the kid out of Ohio State. I don't know if he's, if that's a little too high for him. But
the linebacker or the offensive lineman? You talking about Decker?
No, on defense. On defense. So it would be
Darren Lee, the linebacker.
Darren Lee, yeah.
Yeah. I think if it's on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, he's the type of prototypical player that is athletic and is kind of the linebacker of the future with the way that the league is changing at the tight end position and the amount of, the opportunities he gives you in a nickel package. So I like a kid like that if we go with 10, and he could step in right away right in the middle linebacker spot and have the veterans around him coach him up and get him ready. But I want your thoughts, guys, on this kid that I've been looking at out of TCU, perhaps in the second round, Josh Doctson.
Like him.
I really think that he would be a great complement to Odell Beckham, and you probably have a little more research on him, and then I just like to get your thoughts, and then I'll take your comments off the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Doctson's a guy that's not going to blow you away with the speed. He's not going to be that super duper fast side to side guy, but he does everything pretty well. He's universally considered by the people that do this for a living as the guy who's the best in the class at getting the ball at its highest point and winning contested catches. So they consider him the best in the class in doing that. He has great leaping ability. His vertical leap was 41 inches at the combine, one of the tops in the class.
Just like ours.
Does a great job of using his body to position himself to make catches. So in a lot of ways, he's similar to Treadwell. He ran the 40 speed at – where's his 40-yard dash? 4.5.
Okay.
So but you know the whole better than Treadwell.
And also the whole draft this year, receivers were not that quick as normal.
Right.
All of them.
He only dropped 6 passes.
I was just going to say, that's nice that he has good hands.
Correct.
If you're a receiver that may be going in the first round, I hope you have good hands,
So, again, I think he's a guy that will be a solid complement. He's not going to be like huge, monster big play guy because he doesn't have elite speed. But I think he would be a good guy to complement Beckham. Unfortunately, if he had to put me on the lie detector test, I don't think he's going to be there in the second round. I think he's going to be off the board early first.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there is a class of wide receivers, though, that I like. I think if you take a look at this class of receiving here, Jeff, I would be fine if in the second round the Giants got any of these top 5 wide receivers on the board. I like Corey Coleman. Mm-hmm. I like Josh Doctson. I'll put Steph Shepard aside because I consider him more of a slot. So I take Coleman, I take Doctson, I take Michael Thomas, I take Laquon Treadwell, and I take Will Fuller out of Notre Dame. If the Giants can get one of those 5 players in the second round, I think it's worth the pick. If one of those 5 aren't available and you get to the third round, then I consider Rashard Higgins, I consider Tyler Boyd, I consider guys like that in round number 3.
And I got to believe that when you talk about need versus best available, the Giants are in a need position to get a receiver.
Correct.
So any of these guys, like you said, John, would be fine. And at the second round wouldn't surprise me because, one thing that we heard Jerry Reese say yesterday about Victor Cruz, and it was good news, is that, he's running well and they're expecting him to be in training camp and go out there full go.
Because we heard that same thing at this time last year.
Yes, but I think that with that, there comes exactly what you just said. There's a little bit of, you know, oh, hey, guys, what if it doesn't work out like it did last year? Where are we sitting? Well, you're sitting with guys that you don't even know. You don't want Dwayne Harris to be your number two or number three receiver. You know, obviously he did a nice job filling in last year, but he's here to return kicks and to play some spotty offensive receiver, but you don't want him being that other guy, as much as a great player he is. Tough dude.
Another receiver I like, too, is Lante Carew out of Rutgers, but he's a guy that had some off-the-field stuff beginning of the year, so you wonder if teams might, you know, kind of steer clear of that. All right, we'll take one more call, then we'll have Rob Rang from CBS Sports, an interview I conducted this morning. Greg in Virginia. Greg, go ahead.
Today.
Hey, Greg.
Greg, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to talk about, there's so many scenarios in the draft coming up, obviously. And
that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I swear football, or like draft is like a drug. It's so addictive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I had, before, well, I have a draft question, and, you know, back and forth. And then I have a question for Fiegels
sure.
about his playing days at the end, but I'll hold that off.
Okay.
In my opinion, Paxton Lynch is the biggest winner of the Eagles trade for sure, because mark my words, one way or another, he's going to be a top 10 pick.
He will. I don't know if he's going to be top 10, but I do believe. I do believe he will be overdrafted, better than his value.
But let me explain my reasoning.
Please go ahead.
He was considered a mid-teens to early 20s quarterback.
That's fair. I agree with that.
So, in my opinion, he was mid-teens. Mm-hmm. But because people are going to reach for him now, that's going to put him into the late part of the top 10.
All right, well, I guess my question for you is this. Which team do you think is going to trade up into the early teens to try to get him, because they're afraid another team might step in and pick him before they get there?
I'll give you the exact scenario. Here's what's going to happen.
Okay, go ahead.
The 49ers are going to pretty much make it seem like they love Paxton Lynch. And that's smart, because someone who really needs a quarterback, whether it be the Jets or the Bills or the Broncos or Cleveland, or actually the 49ers themselves, that seventh pick, someone's going to get antsy, because after Paxton Lynch, you're screwed on quarterbacks unless you really consider Connor Cook.
Some people really like Connor Cook. Remember, John Gruden thinks, and Parcells said that they think Connor Cook's
the
best quarterback in the draft.
Teams that need a good quarterback, and how many are there, the numbers don't add up.
So my question remains. So you think the Niners are going to trade down from 7 to pick him, or you think they're going to pick him at 7?
No, I think they'll either take him,
you're nuts.
I think that the Jets will trade Muhammad Wilkerson, potentially, or I feel like the Niners might not even be in play at all, and then Cleveland would be smart to take him at 8.
See, here's the problem.
And if Cleveland didn't want to take him at 8, they could trade back with us, gain an extra pick. We move up and grab one of the top defensive players, and then they still get a quarterback that they can groom with additional picks.
All right, here's the thing, and I think here's the trick. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen at 7 or 8 like you're talking about, because once you get past 7 or 8, I'm going to list teams for you, okay? Which one of these teams? Exactly. The Bucks, the Giants, the Bears, the Saints, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Titans, the Lions, the Falcons, or the 9 consecutive teams from pick number 9 to pick number 17, and then throwing Andrew Luck at 18 with the Colts. So that's 10 straight picks. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor, they like him in Buffalo. So they've got 10 or 11 straight teams with no need of a quarterback. So why wouldn't the Jets just sit there at 20 and wait? They don't have the ammunition to get up to 7 or 8, so why not just wait there at 20 if you're the Jets and let Paxton Lynch come to you?
Because he'll be gone.
Who's going to pick him?
Because the Niners. Jets are, you can't just
at 7. Good luck.
Move back,
good luck.
You can't assume they don't want a quarterback.
What happened?
just because Cleveland moved back from 2, we can't assume that they don't like Paxton Lynch.
No, that's fine.
Maybe they don't like Paxton Lynch. Or wins at 2.
Yeah, but my point,
like,
though, is that
at 8 or 10.
No, I get you. But if I'm another team, and another team wants to use
Griffin.
Will you let me finish? If I'm another team and I want to let, and they're going to pick Paxton Lynch at 7 or 8 in the draft, I say good luck, have fun, ruin your draft, because he's not worth the 7th or 8th pick.
According to John,
I'd say you're probably right.
I mean, at 7 or 8, with two quarterbacks going in the top two, you're looking at maybe getting Miles Jack. If you make Paxton Lynch over Miles Jack, you're out of your damn mind.
Yeah, I agree. We're on the same page. There's something that clouds people's minds when you're talking about quarterbacks. And
yeah, but remember, though, the Browns already passed on a quarterback.
You could say he's a first-round talent.
Right, but the Browns already passed on a quarterback. Remember that.
They didn't want to draft Wentz or whoever they assumed was going to be the number two. They didn't think was worthy.
They wanted to get some draft picks.
They gained picks, and maybe they liked Lynch. They just maybe 8 or 10, or maybe they move back a few spots is a lot more palatable to then take a quarterback.
This will be my prediction. And, Greg, you very well might could be right because you're right. When teams need a quarterback, they do silly things. And
like the Eagles.
And trust me, your thought process and your theory is sound. No question about it. I get what you're saying. And frankly, more people agree with you than are going to agree with me and what I'm about to say. In my opinion, Paxton Lynch will not get picked inside the top 15 picks of this draft. I think there's a good chance he'll be there at 20 for the Jets, or I could see a team like the Texans at 22 maybe moving up to like 15 or 16 or something like that to pick Paxton Lynch there. I don't think that a team's going to move into the top 12 or so to pick Lynch, and I really, as much as Chip Kelly would like to have a developmental quarterback, Paxton Lynch is 2 years away from playing in this league. I mean, he's from a spread system. They didn't really ask him to do a whole lot in terms of play calling. He's really, really raw. So
he's a physical specimen.
Oh, absolutely. And he might have more upside than both Goff and Wentz in terms of pure physical ability. But I don't know. Maybe you're right, Greg. I just don't see it.
Yeah, maybe you're right, too. I mean, I think about these things all day. Like, thank God I'm mindless stuff.
You must not sleep at night, then, because this stuff is crazy, man. Every website you go to has somebody different.
We can have the same conversation about offensive tackles, legitimately. Tunsil, and then, at the end of the day, Stanley is a left tackle, and he produced in college, at a high level. So it's not crazy to think that he goes, but then you're like, well, the Titans really like Conklin, so maybe they move up to 10 to get Conklin. Then three offensive tackles went in the top 10.
Heck, and I'll tell you what.
What if the Cowboys, what Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones, and he's just like, screw it, I'm taking Zeke. Even though they should take Bosa,
You never know. You never know.
Great, thanks for the call, pal.
Hey, Feagles, I got a question from Feagles.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Feagles,
I'm here.
You took the field with Sean Taylor, right?
I'm sorry?
You played against Sean Taylor?
Oh, yeah, with the Redskins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your opinion? I think he probably would have, if he had a whole career, would have been the best safety ever. Do you agree?
Well, I don't know if you go best safety ever, but I feel like that he was in his prime when, unfortunately, he lost his life. But I think
Ronnie Lott was pretty good.
Yeah, but I feel like he just, his leadership and, he was a heck of a player. And he had a tremendous upside. He would have been one of the best, in my opinion. Because he was from the University of Miami.
I was waiting for that one to come up. Yeah. I was waiting for that one.
So
think about how awesome that 2004 draft was. When you guys get a chance to look at all the players in that, that's insane. But y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you, my man. Thank you.
I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. We're going to play Rob Rang. That goes about 20 minutes. Then we'll come back on at 12:50. If you want to sneak in, get on the phones, we'll get you in there before we wrap up the program. Folks, before I get to Rob Rang from CBS Sports, remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Earlier this morning, I had a chance to catch up with CBS Sports draft maven Rob Rang. Let's give it a listen. Joined by Rob Rang from CBS Sports, one of their great draft experts. Rob, how you doing? It's good to hear from you. We're really getting to the nitty-gritty here now, 1 week before the draft, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited about it. Only a couple of days away from the draft, and so I'm looking forward to seeing exactly how it's gonna shake down.
All right, well, let's talk about it. What are you hearing first and foremost of maybe somebody that's late rising, somebody that's late falling, that could affect the Giants, and who's there at number 10?
Well, the biggest riser at this point, and I think it's just partially because of the trade that we've seen with the Los Angeles Rams moving up and, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles moving up, is the rising stock of the quarterback Paxton Lynch and the offensive tackle Jack Conklin from Michigan State. Both of them are just viewed as players that, well, specifically with Conklin, it's viewed as very much pro-ready. And with Paxton Lynch, you know, if we do have the quarterbacks go 1-2, as everybody is expecting at this point, then that's obviously going to push Paxton Lynch up there. Obviously, it could end up having a significant impact on who might be available to the Giants at 10 if they indeed stay there, just because it's a possibility that both those two players wind up going in the top 10 now, which seemed a little bit unrealistic just a couple of weeks ago.
Do you see Conklin going ahead of Stanley now, or do you see Stanley, Conklin, and Tunsil all being gone when the Giants go at 10?
I still would be a little bit surprised to see Jack Conklin go ahead of Ronnie Stanley. Ronnie Stanley is about as good of a left tackle prospect as you're going to see in most years. And, you know, of course, you had Laramie Tunsil this year, who's just an exceptional talent. But, you know, Ronnie Stanley looks like a plug-and-play left tackle. Jack Conklin is a very, very good football player. Don't get me wrong. And one of the reasons why I actually think that he does have a chance to jump ahead of Stanley is the perception that Conklin is a tougher guy and potentially more versatile. And so he might be able to play guard or right tackle, whereas Ronnie Stanley is essentially viewed as just a left tackle. But, you know, just a left tackle is like saying I just won $1 million.
Yeah, absolutely. Another guy that I've seen been rumored for the Giants a lot, Rob, in a lot of the mock drafts I've seen around is Leonard Floyd. A lot of people say he's one of the late risers in this draft. And the feeling I'm getting is that people are looking around and not seeing those dynamic, super athletic edge rushers. So when you see a guy like Floyd with his raw athletic skill set, they say, you know what, maybe he can be the guy. Is that one of the reasons you think he's really moving up the boards? Because simply there aren't that many big-time, super athletic edge rushers out there?
I think you're absolutely right, John. I mean, if you look at this draft class, really, the story is the defensive tackles. That's what's really, really talented in this year's group. But the edge rushers, on the other hand, they just kind of sometimes get lumped in with that group as the defensive linemen. But there is not a lot of dynamic edge rushers, certainly not any that have the combination of burst, bend, and length that the 6'6", 245-pound Leonard Floyd has. And, you know, he's experienced rushing off the edge and in Georgia's 3-4 defense. He was also asked to drop back into coverage. There's just very few of those guys in this particular draft. I think it is going to push Leonard Floyd up the board a little bit. I think he might absolutely be in play for the New York Giants or perhaps the Chicago Bears a couple of picks later. Certainly, if he gets all the way down to 20, the New York Jets, it would make some sense there. But I think it's going to push up a lot of edge rushers, whether it be Shaq Lawson from Clemson, his former teammate Kevin Dodd from Clemson. And one player to keep in mind late in the first round, who I think has a chance to sneak in there, not a lot of people are talking about, is Camille Correa from Boise State. He's another one of those dynamic edge rushers. And as you said, John, because there's not a lot of them in this draft class, that could push the top edge rushers up the board that much more.
See, now, it's funny. You mentioned Leonard Floyd as a 3-4 outside linebacker. And I think, you know, top 15, if you're a 3-4 team, I think he makes a lot of sense. But how do you think the Giants would use him in their 4-3 scheme, I think is the question a lot of Giant fans are asking.
Well, that's one of the exciting things about it is that Floyd does have experience in essentially doing everything that I expect the Giants would ask Leonard Floyd to do if he was indeed their selection, and that is rush the passer likely on third down as a hand-in-the-dirt defensive end or as a stand-up rush linebacker, as well as drop back. I think that he has the potential to be a quality, strong side linebacker in a traditional 4-3 scheme. But you know, that's the thing. There's so very few teams anymore who are just 4-3 or just 3-4.
Right.
With more and more offenses you know, spreading the field with three receiver sets, then it asks for much more versatile players. And there are a few players in this draft class who offer the versatility of Leonard Floyd offers.
How much of this Miles Jack stuff is smoke with teams trying to get him to fall to them? And how much of it, Rob, is real where teams are really going to be legitimately afraid about picking Miles Jack in the top 8 or 9 picks?
You know, I think a lot of it's smoke, to be honest with you, John. I mean, I've had my conversations with NFL scouts and just said, look, you know, and general managers, not just lower-level scouts, and just said, look, am I right to be skeptical? Is this all just kind of fluff and doomsday conspiracy to try and push Miles Jack down? And that is certainly the impression I've got. But, of course, some of these are teams that are selecting in the top ten. It doesn't do them any good to tell me, oh, yeah, we're going to take him because this is that Lions season. But, you know, I just have a hard time believing that a relatively minor injury like a meniscus that occurred back in October and has allowed Miles Jack to work out, maybe not fully, but enough to demonstrate his incredible athleticism, is the type of injury that is going to push this player, who I think is very much in consideration to be the elite athlete in this draft class, all the way out of the top 10. I have a hard time imagining being by the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 5 or the San Francisco 49ers at number 7.
Hey, Rob, I know you're a big Laquon Treadwell fan. You have him in your top 10 in your big board. So I imagine for you, he would be in the mix for the Giants at 10. Do you think that would be a good value pick, or do you think the Giants could find value at wide receiver in the second or third round? Where do you see that best fit sliding in for the Giants on where they can try to find that future number 2 wide receiver to put next to Odell Beckham Jr.?
Well, I do think that there's some reasonable depth in the second and third rounds of wide receiver this year, but none of them, in my opinion, are anything close to what Laquon Treadwell provides. And, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of concern about the 4.65 at the 40-yard dash and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, John, you and I have been doing this business long enough to know that there's been some really good wide receivers who just didn't run quite as well as expected, Michael Irvin being one, Anquan Boldin being one. And, you know, the player that I've kind of like to compare Laquon Treadwell to, maybe not quite as familiar to the New York Giants fans, would be Keenan Allen, who's a young, very talented player of the San Diego Chargers, and he ended up dropping all the way down to the third round a few years ago out of the University of California. And I just think that he is about pro ready as it gets. You know, obviously, when you have an elite player like Odell Beckham, then you don't need the complementary threat to be a true number one. You need to be number two, and that's exactly why I think Laquon Treadwell walks into the NFL and is that. I believe that he personally can be a number one receiver when it's all said and done, but I think he walks into the NFL, and because of his size, because of his physicality, because of his ability to go up in high point passes, then in my opinion, a player like him certainly would make a lot of sense as the, in my opinion, the absolute best complementary type of receiver to a playmaker like Odell Beckham.
Interesting. We're joined by Rob Rank, CBS Sports. Rob, let's say the Giants are sitting there in the first round, and they have a choice between one of the offensive tackles, the top three guys, or Leonard Floyd. And they sit there and they say, you know what? We know we want to get a pass rusher. We know we want to get an offensive tackle. So if we pick one of these guys here in the first round, we want to try to get another in either round 2 or 3, or maybe even early fourth round. Which position, offensive tackle or pass rusher, defensive end, do you think is easier to find on day 2 or early day 3? And who are the types of guys you would look at if you're in that market?
That's a great question. It's one of the reasons why I think that we are going to see pass rushers like Leonard Floyd kind of continue to climb up the board as the draft approaches, because the talent really does drop off there. You know, you can make the argument that a player like Eastern Kentucky's Noah Spence or Kamala Correa, who I mentioned before, Utah State's Tyler Fackrell might be available to the Giants and other clubs looking for pass rushers in the second round. But you know that there is going to be some talented offensive tackles available, whether it be Auburn Sean Coleman is a player that I'm very high on. Western Michigan's Willie Beavers is a player that not a lot of people are talking about, but he's getting second to third round grades from a lot of clubs, and people feel that he is versatile enough to play guard as well as tackle. So I personally believe that you might see the Giants ultimately elect to go with the pass rusher. That's been certainly been something that they had done in the past. And when I look at Leonard Floyd, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to see some of the comparisons, say, to a Mathias Kiwanuka, because of the versatility that he offers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Chris Canty, another guy who's tall, obviously plays a much different position. I've heard the Jason Taylor comparisons. I've also heard the Anthony Barr comparisons in terms of moving that 3-4 guy into the 4-3. So, again, I think that there's a lot of interest in terms of what they could get him to do. In terms of corner, the Giants still need a third corner, a guy that can maybe play a little slot with Jenkins and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie outside. Where do you think they could find a guy that can cover out of the slot, be that third complementary corner? Is that something they can find in early day 3, or would you try to target that player on day 2 in rounds 2 or 3?
I think I'd be looking at round two or three. This is not an exceptional quarterback class, in my opinion. It's a solid class, but I think that we're going to see four corners or so go in the first round. And then it falls off after that, in my opinion. Kind of like what we talked about with the edge rusher class. But there are some quality players likely to still be available in the second round. You know, if you're looking for the nickel corners, you're looking for guys who have toughness, who have athletic ability. Everybody just wants to pigeonhole the shorter corners as guys who are going to be able to handle the nickel role. But yeah, you really have to be incredibly agile, and you have to be willing to handle the physicality that comes to playing close to line scrimmage.
Joined by Rob Rang, CBS Sports. Rob, just want to go like some around the league type of stuff here. I think one of the interesting picks in this draft, or two of them really, are the first two picks after the two quarterbacks with the Chargers and the Cowboys. I've heard San Diego's looking to trade out of there. If they do trade out of there, would they be trading out for a team that wants Tunsil or trading out for a team that wants Ramsey? And then what would the Cowboys do when they get to four?
Well, that's a great question. I think the Laramie Tunsil is the best player in this draft. So logically speaking, I would think that a team that is looking to move up, or in fact the San Diego Chargers is staying there at number three, would you think would go with Laramie Tunsil. But the Chargers, they are fascinating. I mean, because this is a team, the general manager Tom Telesco has invested a lot of money in that offensive line, and you know, it was kind of middling results, but because in large part because of durability issues, including the left tackle, King Dunlap, I don't know that you are going to be willing, if you're the Chargers, to draft another off-injured tackle the way that Laramie Tunsil is. I mean, he struggled with injuries himself. So I think that if Tunsil and Ramsey are absolutely the players in play for San Diego, the Chargers have done much more so than a lot of clubs. The Chargers have put a great deal of emphasis on off-field issues. Not to say that Laramie Tunsil has a bad rap off the field, but Jalen Ramsey is absolutely sterling. And that's one of the reasons why I think that he may have a slight advantage over Tunsil at this point. But certainly, if the Chargers were able to get any kind of monster deal, then I think that makes a lot of sense for their club. And then with the Dallas Cowboys, you know, I think that, again, Jalen Ramsey is a phenomenal player. He would make some sense. Miles Jack is a phenomenal player. He'd make some sense. But when I look at the Dallas Cowboys roster, there is a glaring hole at defensive end. And considering how much the Cowboys looked to invest in that position a year ago with Greg Hardy and DeMarcus Lawrence, who, of course, suspended for the first four games, I have a hard time believing that the Cowboys would not take the relatively pro-ready Joey Bosa at the fourth spot.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, and it was funny, last night, Todd McShay actually mocked in the Kiper McShay mock draft. They sent Ezekiel Elliott all the way to number 10 to the Giants. How tempted will Dallas be at number 4 to take him, and where do you see Elliott eventually falling in this draft?
Excuse me. With Ezekiel Elliott, I think we're talking about truly one of the elite players in this draft, and you know, the difference between Ezekiel Elliott is the number one running back and, you know, Derrick Henry or Devontae Booker or Kenneth Dixon, whoever is your top rated or your number two rated running back, the significance is so much that I think that it could push Ezekiel Elliott up into the top 10. I think that he should be in play for the Giants. He should be in play for the Dallas Cowboys at number 4, just because we've seen in the NFL that very few positions offer the immediate impact ability of a star running back. And Ezekiel Elliott is a true three-down back, not only because of his dynamic running, powerful, speedy, has great vision, but he's got good hands on the backfield, and he is among the best blocking running backs I've ever seen. I've been covering the draft since 2001, so I do believe that he's going to wind up going somewhere in the top 10. And, you know, obviously a lot of it's going to depend on where exactly he's drafted, but I think at this early point, Ezekiel Elliott is probably your odds-on favorite to be the offensive rookie of the year. I think he has that type of immediate impact ability.
You know, a lot of people think the Browns are going to try to trade it down again, Rob, to get some more picks. That's what DePodesta wants to do. People have all talked about the Giants maybe trading down from 10, Tennessee wanting to move up. What scenario do you think it becomes most likely that the Giants trade out of 10? What player is going to tempt teams to say, you know what, we need to get to 10 to pick this guy, and the Giants maybe would be willing to trade out of that spot and not select that player?
Well, I think it's a possibility. It could be Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he's one of the more dynamic players. I think if we have one of the four players I consider to be the top position players other than quarterback still available at 10, and for whatever reason, if if the Giants were not happy with either a Laramie Tunsil or Jalen Ramsey, a Miles Jack or a Joey Bosa, then those are the type of players that have enough buzz about them that I could see a team being very aggressive and moving up to get him. And you know, the Giants done a nice job of dropping down in the past and still being able to find good players.
All right, Rob, final question. I've been asking everybody this, and we're only 6 days out, so it's not quite as ridiculous as me asking you this at the Combine. If you were making the Giants pick, who would you select? And then who do you think Jerry Reese will select?
That's a great question. If it was me and Ezekiel Elliott was on the board, and we talked about the, you know, some of those other the top four players being Joey Bosa, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Laramie Tunsil, even though I don't believe the left tackle is as much of a concern as some have made it out to be, then I think I would go with Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I wouldn't be surprised at all if one of those tackles is still available, like a Jack Conklin. I just love his physicality. I think that he's able to come in and play in just about any spot you want. I really like Derek Flowers coming out of Miami a year ago. Because of his toughness, Jack Conklin, in my opinion, would be a classic other bookend tackle to give the Giants and Eli Manning the type of tackles that I think that they are looking to build their offense, and that's the selection I would have the Giants actually making. Jack Conklin, my choice again would be Ezekiel Elliott.
Interesting. And, Rob, I want to throw one more thing out there, because you mentioned all these top players. One guy I haven't heard you mention in that top tier for you is DeForest Buckner. And I think it's interesting, because I think I tend to agree with you, because I don't see those five technique, 3-4 defensive ends bringing as much explosive value as, say, an edge rusher or a corner or things like that. Where do you have Buckner? And if he's sitting there at 10, should that be a consideration for the Giants?
I think it should be a consideration for the Giants. I think that DeForest Buckner is absolutely a top 10 prospect. But, you know, a lot of the people who don't necessarily watch much tape, they just pop statistics, are going to point to the fact that DeForest Buckner is 6'7", 290 pounds, and led the Pac-12 a year ago with 10.5 sacks. And they just think, okay, that means he's an absolutely dynamic kind of player, a J.J. Watt type. And I'm more with you, John. I think that he's a 3-4 defensive end. He's a 5 technique and a very good one at that. But I don't know that he's ever going to come close to the 10.5 sacks that he produced for the Ducks last year. I think he is about as safe and talented of a player as you're going to get in this draft in terms of his position. But I don't know that you're getting a lot of bang for your buck in the top 5 or 6. I currently have DeForest Buckner actually reuniting with Chip Kelly at number 7 overall to the San Francisco 49ers and think that that's about where he should go. I just don't know that you are going to get the flashy numbers to warrant a selection much higher than that.
And then you have Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner, a couple of Ducks banning that defensive line. Rob, great stuff. I appreciate it as always.
Hello.
Have fun next week. I know this is the culmination of a lot of work for you. Enjoy it if you can. Feel better. I know you're battling a cold, and we'll talk to you after the draft, all right?
Sounds
this
good.
Draft.
Thanks for having me on, Jeff, as always. Take care.
That's Rob Rank, CBS Sports. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegels, back at the On Big Blue Kickoff Live. Fiegs, what are some of the things you took out of that spot since you were conducting it? I'd like to know your take on what Rob had to say.
Well, I thought it had a lot of good questions that were answered. I mean, I still think the conversation with all these guys is around that pick for the Giants. It all determines on, I think if Ezekiel Elliott is there, that's the guy that you got to take because of what's happening with everything else. But I really believe that.
What if Zeke and Miles Jack are there?
You got to take Miles Jack.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of smoke, as we say, going on with him right now. I just think that this guy is supposedly just an unbelievable athlete. And I just think you got to take a shot on this guy for what he's doing. But I'm back to the offense again. It seems to me from what he was saying is that there's a chance that one of these tackles could be there at that number 10 pick, and that Conklin seems to be the guy that he liked. But either Stanley or Conklin wouldn't be, either one of those guys are going to be someone that's going to be on your line for a long, long time.
And Zeke versus Stanley and Conklin, who do you pick?
If I had my choice in all three of those, I'm going with an offensive tackle. I now would have two first rounders to help protect Eli Manning. You've got Odell Beckham. I don't think, you know, you got the competition at the running back position that the guys did last year. Rashad Jennings showed that he can carry that load and do it for a year or two more. But to me, that offensive line needs to be shored up, and you got a chance to get that tackle, one of those guys in the first round. I'm going for them.
All right, so here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you the same thing, but this is your last show before the Giants actually start drafting people.
Okay.
So first round.
Yep.
If you were making the pick, who would you select?
I would. If I was making the pick, I would go with Stanley from Notre Dame, the offensive tackle. That's my guy.
Now, who do you think the Giants will pick?
I have a feeling that the Giants are going to pick Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay. There we go. Well, Elliott's very popular. I'm keeping track of all our draft experts and who they pick.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Am I?
Is there a bunch of different ones, eh?
Yeah, we got a couple Ronnie Stanleys. We got a couple Ezekiel Elliotts.
Mm-hmm.
We got Conklin. We got a Rankins. A Miles Jack is in there somewhere. So we got a bunch of different names.
And you don't. And there isn't any Malcolm Floyds.
Nobody
seems to think. Yeah, interesting. He would be my sleeper if you want to put a sleeper in there. I wouldn't be surprised.
So. All right, there you go. All right, we got two calls in line. Let's get
Where's
to
yours?
Before we say goodbye. My last pick, my last show before the Giants draft is next Monday, and I will give you my name then.
But you can tell me though, because I won't be able to blabber it on the air to everybody else.
I will tell you when the show's over. Yeah, I'm not telling you.
That's what I mean. That's what
fine.
I mean.
Yeah.
I'd like to know.
I'll be happy to. 201-939-4513, and I reserve my right to change my mind by Monday.
Fine.
I have one more weekend to kind of tumble this stuff in the old cranium. Matt, East Islip, he's been holding the longest. Matt.
Hey, guys, what's going on? John, it was a great interview with Rob. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Matt.
Hey, Jeff. Real quick, I wanted to – I know you got another call. I don't know if you guys had seen Jack Conklin's tape against DeForest Buckner at all, but if you get a chance to watch it, DeForest Buckner did absolutely nothing.
I didn't watch it, but I have heard people's analysis of it that Conklin is really the only player in the whole country that was able to deal with Buckner over the course of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm an offensive line guy. I've always have been, played it myself, and I wasn't a big fan of Conklin because he is a right tackle, I think, more like a Andrew Whitworth kind of guy. From Cincinnati, or like a Joe Staley. Well, I know he plays left tackle, but I just see that in his build. I think he'd be great at the right tackle.
You know, it's funny, Matt, real quick. You are not the first person I've heard compare him to Joe Staley. I've heard that comparison a bunch of different times, so I think that's a good name.
Well, if he can play like him, he'd be good.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. But I think, if you just look at, I think it will tell you a lot about what the Giants want to do with Flowers. That's another big part of it. Because if you draft Conklin, Conklin's better suited at right tackle. And I think that says left tackle, Eric Flowers is our guy. Now, if they went Stanley, I think maybe then they say we could try out Stanley at right tackle, although he's more of a finesse guy to deal with the speed, where Flowers is more of a power road grader guy at the right tackle spot.
I agree with that.
That's just my take. And then real quick, if you guys don't mind, I have one more thing.
Yeah, sure.
Thinking of the top 10, if you really were to sit down and play GM of these teams at 3, Matt Miller has been saying DeForest Buckner, he's been hearing 100% to the Chargers. Now, that's not final, obviously, till Thursday, but let's just say it happens. And then with the 4th pick, I think the 4th and 5th pick is going to what's really going to – the dominoes are going to fall for the Giants. Because
I agree.
If you take the Cowboys – I really, truly believe they're going to take Ezekiel Elliott. But they shouldn't, because you got Ramsey there, which his talent is through the roof. And then you got DeMarcus Lawrence, who's going to be facing a 4-game suspension, and Greg Hardy, who's going to be facing a 4-game suspension. They have no defensive ends at all for 4 games. So how do you not take Joey Bosa, really? Then you have to think about that.
You know, it's funny. At number 4, I agree. I think the Cowboys are maybe the most interesting team in that top 5, because I think if they were starting their team from scratch, for example, or, you know, they didn't have these great needs, I agree. I think they kind of want to take Elliott to put him behind that offensive line.
Right.
But I would have a real hard time picking an offensive player when you already have Alfred Morrison House. I know he's not a world beater, but I think he's a pretty good running back in this league. I think he is an improvement over Darren McFadden last year, to be honest with you. I would have a hard time passing on Jalen Ramsey and Joey Bosa, depending on what you think of both of them, because I think both are going to be very, very good pros.
Right, and I think it's going to be Bosa because of the need at defensive end.
Yeah, I buy that.
But then you got to look at Ramsey. I think he goes to Baltimore because the Jaguars have Cyprian, and they just signed Tashaun Gibson from the Browns.
Yeah, but Ramsey will play corner though.
That's true. He would be right. He would be their corner at that point. I think he would be a better free safety, but that's also looking at it as a Giants fan perspective.
I agree with that too.
Play here.
I'm with you.
But I think, and then I think they would probably have at six, like I said, Baltimore would take Ramsey. Seven, San Francisco, that's going to be the big pick, and that's where I also don't know. That's going to kind of be a weird one. But if, you know, if Tunsil is there, it depends. Like I said, it's going to be really tough, but I don't know. I kind of want to hear you guys' take on my call and just see what you guys had to say about that. And, John, I'll tweet to you the video of the link for Conklin and Buckner.
Yeah, so. Please. Yeah, please. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Thanks
Thank
a lot
you.
For the call.
Thanks.
My top 10, if I had to mock draft it out right now, you go the two quarterbacks, one and two. I go, I think Tunsil is going to be the pick to San Diego at three. I just don't think they're going to be able to resist protecting Phillip Rivers. I get Buckner why it's a fit, but I think they're going to go Tunsil. I think in the end, I think Dallas is going to say we have to pick Joey Bosa because yep. I think they're trying to win now. The same reason they weren't going to pick a quarterback is the same reason they picked Bosa. And I think it's a good pick.
Yeah.
I think – I disagree. I think the Jaguars are going to jump on Jalen Ramsey. I really do. I think they need a corner up there.
Definitely.
So I think Ramsey 5. The Ravens are interesting then. I mean, it depends what you think of Miles Jack and his injury. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do.
Or do they get a Buckner or Lawson?
If they're sticking with that 3-4, I could see them picking Buckner.
Mm-hmm.
But if they pick Jack, I could see the Niners. So how about let's put 6 and 7, let's put Jack/Buckner and say
okay.
those are the two
right.
guys,
That's
one
fine.
Or the other, okay?
Okay?
And then the Browns, I think they're going to trade. I think they're still trying to trade out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to take a tackle, though. That's the thing.
Well, maybe somebody moves up to get this pick for a quarterback, but I don't want to go there anymore.
I see the Niners picking a tackle though too. By the way, and then Buckner drops a little bit.
I can see the Niners picking a tackle.
Yeah, me too.
They like those big offensive linemen that stay in their system
especially
for a long time.
Ronnie Stanley,
yes.
the athletic guy yeah. in Chip Kelly's system, where the quarterback moves around a little bit. I could see that.
Yeah, you know the caller had mentioned about Conklin and drafting or actually Staley. See, Staley is a left tackle, so in my opinion, if you wanted to shore up that offensive line, you move Flowers back to his original position at right guard. Right tackle, and then you draft, a left tackle, like in Stanley, and you got yourself a pretty formidable offensive line now. You got a lot of first rounders in there, and I feel like the running back position is not quite the need that these teams need these days. It's such a passing league. You've got guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield for the Giants now. You got Rashad James who can run it, and then you got receivers out there that can catch it. So the need for me is that left tackle. And then a receiver. Now, John, I'm not saying that the receiver has to be a second rounder. I still think that because of those five guys that you showed me, you can get a quality receiver in that third round.
You can.
That I think that can come in and contribute behind Dwayne Harris and then Victor Cruz if he's healthy. And, of course, OBJ. I think you got yourself a nice offense there.
All right, Nugs in Minnesota. Nugs, we got to get off on time today, so make it quick.
Hey. This is what I think. I think if Ezekiel Elliott or Miles Jack or somebody falls down to us, I don't think Miles Jack's gonna make it that far. But I think if Ezekiel Elliott or one of the big time guards tackles like Conklin falls down to us, I would love to see the Giants trade back, dangle that pick out there. Let's trade back
to where?
Let's pick up I'm looking somewhere. We probably have to go all the way back to. I think we could probably. I'm looking at it right now. I think we could probably move back to with the Dolphins. We could probably. We could probably trade back to them, and then. Or maybe make something happen with the Broncos, because the Broncos definitely are not looking at Mark Sanchez as the quarterback of the future.
I would not trade all the way back to 31. If you want to go to 13 with the Dolphins, I'm fine with that. I would not go down to 31 with Denver.
I'd even go to 15 with the Titans.
Me too. I'd also be okay with that.
Maybe the Titans maybe they want to jump up and get one of those tackles.
All right, Nugs, real quick, who do you want when you trade back?
Well, when I trade back, I think we'll still be able to either get the tackle or to get the DN. I really think that this draft in the first few rounds, 2-3 rounds, should really be about giving Spags. Let's make sure his cupboard's full because it's really do or die for that defense right now. I don't necessarily think I wouldn't argue with taking Miles Jack, but I don't think that with you know, the Keenan Robinson thing and having, you know, I watched a lot of tape on Keenan Robinson. He seems like a pretty decent addition or whatever. If he can stay healthy, you know, we can avoid growing pains of a guy who hasn't been in the league, who hasn't seen enough, you know what I'm saying? Because that's still going to be something that we're going to have to deal with a rookie middle linebacker calling our defenses. So I would just like to see us just trade back, get as many picks as we can, not trade too far back. But yep. I mean, like, if Denver wants to mortgage their next two drafts to move all the way up to number 10, then, you know, because that seems like right. You know, what everybody's doing. Everybody's overpaying. So I would like to see us just try to get some more picks, make sure Spags has all his holes filled up.
Got it.
And then go from there.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate the call, man. We got to run.
Yep.
Talk to you next week.
All right, bro.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Jeff Fiegels. I'm John Schmelk. I'll be back with you on Monday with Lance Meadow. We'll have Tony Pauline on. More draft stuff. Jeff Fiegels will be with you next Friday to break down what the Giants did on night one of the NFL draft. Have a great weekend, your first and last weekend until the NFL draft. We'll see you next time on Giants.com. Take it easy, everyone.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.